afternoon, everyone. My name is Laurie Alonzo, and I am the zoning administrator for today's meeting, November 5th, 2020. Just wanted to do a quick check because we are doing, we do have this meeting available via the phone. So I believe I've got, could you introduce yourself on the phone? I think, Brian, you're there, right?
Yes, my name is Brian Kernow. I'm the current planning land use manager for the County of Orange.
And then we also have Ms. Sharon Gilliam, our secretary, who will be monitoring the phone line to see if someone does come on. So we just want to make sure. But it sounds like our sound check is fine, correct? So.
That's clear.
Okay, thanks. Just for those people in the room, we are.
Looks like we have one more that just came on. Let me unmute.
Hi, hello. I believe we have another person joining us on the zoning administrator meeting for today. Could you please introduce yourself on the line, please?
My name is Craig Schultz. I'm with Lake Bell Schultz Architects.
Hi, Craig. This is Laurie. I'm the zoning administrator for today for the meeting, so thanks. Alrighty. We will ask if you were to speak on any items that you make sure that you spell your name and everything so that the secretary, Ms. Gilliam, can be sure to get that into the record properly later during the meeting. So back to some of the administration, just some general administration for the meeting. We are in the room, there are people in the room, and we are practicing social distancing, and we have additional agendas and staff reports available on the table. Everyone is seated at least 6 feet apart, and everyone is wearing masks as appropriate. We are grateful to be able to have the technology to have this meeting as well remotely. So if you are, we talked about if you were going to speak today, please make sure that you let us know your name and your address as well as spelling of your name so we can properly get that into the record. Just as a note, written materials must be received 24 hours in advance to ensure consideration by the zoning administrator. And also, if you wish to speak on an item that's not on the agenda, there is time in later in the meeting that we can do that. Except as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any items not appearing on the agenda. And since we only have one item today, we don't need to worry about the sequencing. So I've already called the meeting to order. I have reviewed and approved the minutes of October 15th. Those are posted or will be posted on our website as well if anyone's interested in those items. And I'm going to go ahead and move on the agenda to our discussion item. It was a continued item from last meeting. We did not really hear the item or open the public hearing, so I will just turn it over to Mr. Kevin Canning, who has a presentation for us here today.
Thank you. First, since we didn't introduce or discuss the project that time, I'm going to do a brief overview of the actual project request and then give you an update of some of the actions that have happened since then. The application is for a use permit and variance at 522 Emerald Bay. It is additions to an existing structure, so no CDP was required. The use permit is to allow an overhead wall to a height of approximately 9 feet within the front yard setback. The wall will serve as a screen wall for a service area, trash cans, and the like. The existing residence is located somewhat up a hill higher than the frontage street. The existing house is at an approximate 5 foot setback in an L-shaped house. The variance would allow them to construct a second story deck that is actually just an extension of an existing narrow balcony that fronts along the side, the front of the house. Because that new construction would be closer than 16 feet, 11 inches from the front property line, that being a setback for a shallow lot, this particular shallow lot, it requires the variance. The construction would be closer than 16 feet. The deck area itself would extend to 5 feet 9 inches of the front property line, basically matching the existing narrow balcony. And then over a portion of the new deck, in essence, this is a front yard deck, will be a trellis area for some shade, and a small portion of that trellis area would also extend into the front yard setback. The trellis will not be any higher than the existing ridge line. It will be just slightly higher than the existing eave line along that portion of the structure. That is the request. At the last hearing, the neighbor across the street, Mr. Bob Vendetti, contacted me that he was not unfamiliar with the request, requested a continuance, and then shortly thereafter, Mr. Mitchell Austin, who lives immediately next door to the north, if you will, also expressed some concern. During the continuance, the project architect met with Mr. Vendetti, and they discussed it. He got familiar with the project. Mr. Vendetti has since withdrawn his concerns. Mr. Austin wasn't able to attend that meeting. He has subsequently reviewed the materials and still has some concerns. There is an email that I just passed out that I just received today shortly after lunch. It is number one on the administrator's desk. It is dated today, November 5th at 12:20. It's from Mitchell Austin. Those are his comments. I'm sorry, let me back up on one point. In the packet that updates today's results, I included Mr. Austin's very specific request to the applicants and the project architect to trim. I am paraphrasing, basically to trim back some areas of the deck and trellis in order that their view across towards the ocean would not be obstructed, and they also had some privacy concerns because this new deck would be relatively close to their property. The applicants and architect considered those requests and respectfully declined. So now you have a Thursday, November 5th, 12:20 email from Mr. Austin that makes the comments regarding he still wishes those things would be back. There is encroachment, and expresses some other concerns. He also makes various representations regarding how the Emerald Bay Community Association reviewed and acted upon the project. Subsequent to that, shortly thereafter that I got this one, about 30 minutes later, Mr. Austin sent a second email, basically summarizing that in viewing the updated memo that I distributed to him, the applicant, and all the parties involved, basically said he feels that sounds to him as if it's a foregone conclusion that the his objections would be denied and the project will go forward. Therefore, he informed me in this email that he will not be calling in to participate in the hearing. He attached that approximately a page and a half of comments that he said he was going to read into the record discussing his concerns, etc. His comments will be part of the record. I don't think there's a need to read them. The zoning administrator has been provided them, so you're familiar with their content. All of this brings us back to the project. Staff recommends approval of the project, including a finding that the project is categorically exempt under Class 3 exemption under CEQA. And that we recommend you approve PA 20-0089 for a use permit and variance subject to the findings and conditions as contained in the original staff report. That would be all.
So that concludes your presentation. I do have just a couple, thank you for your presentation and kind of redoing the history of how where we're at today. I do just have a couple of follow-up questions for you. I know it's all stated in the staff report, but just for the record, so that as part of the record and explanation or summary of the project, can you walk me through the Emerald Bay's process on this? And also, because there's some claims from what I've read so far, there's some claims that there was a public notification. So I know we have at the county, we have specific public noticing requirements, and then also in this area we have the Emerald Bay coordination. So if you could just speak to that a little bit.
I will summarize them as I understand them. I do not implement them. I haven't been actively involved, but
we'll start with arson, because we at the county, we do public notice in certain places, and I know it's in the staff report, but I feel like it's important to state for the record too, just as part of your presentation today.
See, that was from Mr. Vendetti and Mr. Austin, basically saying that our public notice the first they heard of the project, and that would have been sent in early October for an October 15th zoning administrator hearing.
Yes, October 2nd.
October 2nd. One of the attachments, what I have with Jill Chambers from EBCA has provided to us, and it is included as an attachment to something that got passed out to you today.
Is it the storyboards or is it the elevations with
the memo that's dated today, but is it to the Orange County zoning administrator? It has an update, a summary, and then a recommendation.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. The final attachment on that is three different letters that EBCA Architectural Committee mailed out to property owners to notify them of the thing. It includes one in January, May, and June of 2020. Attached to the original staff report are the EBCA board meeting minutes that approved the project. I know that Jill Chambers is concerned with some of the comments made by Mr. Austin, and she will be replying to them, but I didn't receive that email in time to distribute it today.
Okay.
Yeah, just hearing. Also, at the project site, it's under the EBCA requirements, story poles were erected and in another place for a little over a month, from early May into June of this year. And then, of course, the Emerald Bay Architectural Committee enforces their architectural guidelines that are much different than our zoning criteria. And they have, as part of their intent, as due to the story polls, to try to mitigate and deal with potential view blockage issues. There are no county criteria that protects private views. And through the course of the implementation of their architectural guidelines, they try to deal with those view preservation issues that are very important to the community through their architectural guidelines. But it is far above and beyond the kind of criteria that the county would implement. There's massing criteria, there's pitches of roofs and percentage of deck space and a whole host of things that the county just doesn't get involved with on a single family house in Emerald Bay.
And my understanding is that is all done well ahead of us even coming to, or the county presenting anything to us at the plant, at the zoning administrator.
It is required under the Emerald Bay LCP that the architect, or that the Emerald Bay Community Association review the project before the county does. As a matter, I don't know that it states anywhere. Not that they approve, but they have to review.
Right.
I don't know that it states anywhere, but having worked on Emerald Bay projects for the last several years, I tell the clients that they don't necessarily have to have EBC approval to file with us, but I think they should at least have a preliminary approval, because the architectural guidelines will manipulate and potentially change their project much more than the county zoning criteria.
No, I mean, I think that is good advice, and I believe that's, my understanding of how the process works. So I just wanted to be sure that what was stated very eloquently in the staff report, I just wanted, in the event that, someone that wasn't at the meeting had wanted to request the hearing record, I would want to make sure that that information was presented in the meeting. So then my other question was, so thank you for that clarification, I appreciate that. The additional information that you provided as a history and also the report for today was very informative. Well, I understand the story poles are not a county requirement. I think it's important to identify this, especially in responding back to the questions that have been raised by, I don't want to call them applicants, I'm sorry, the neighbors that have raised their concerns of this project. The other thing I wanted to just clarify, and I think you have that answer as well, you touched on the patio trellis, and the setback for the patio trellis. So I know the structural setback is 16 feet, but I believe the trellis is a little bit set back in from that.
The deck extends to within 5 feet, 9 inches of the front property
line. I'm sorry, the required is 16, but so how close is the trellis to
the
requirement?
Trellis gets to within approximately 14 feet, speaking from memory on the plans. I don't have them in front of me.
Okay.
So it has a slight encroachment into the required front setback. But the trellis that will provide some shade on the new deck doesn't cover the entire area of the new deck.
Okay, so if we were to just separate the trellis from the rest of the project, it seems to project about 2 feet into the required setback.
Correct.
Okay. And it's a shame that the gentleman wasn't able to be part of the hearing today, because I would like to, I appreciate the time that was spent for him to send his concerns in via email it looks like it came in through email. I would have liked to have been able to have more of a dialogue with the concerned citizen, because that's kind of part of what the public hearing is about. And I don't make a pre-decision before we get here. So, I appreciate his comments. It just kind of saddened a little bit that our process is not perceived as more open than already pre-decided, because that's truly not the case here.
And forgive me for a minute, I was just checking my phone. Jill Chambers is still trying to respond and also reaching out to Mr. Austin, so.
Okay, great.
Just to know that stuff is still happening.
Alrighty. I don't have any other questions for you at this time. Why don't I go ahead and open the public hearing, and we can hear from those on the phone. So I'm gonna go ahead and open the public hearing. And I do see a member of the public, or a representative for the project in the audience. Would you like to go first and speak on this item?
Yes, I'm Andrew Herman, representative from Laidlaw Schultz Architects, agent for the client.
Got it.
And we have reviewed the staff report and accept the findings, and accept the conditions of approval.
Okay. I just want to confirm, I know we talked about, I just mentioned with Kevin, I'd asked about the trellis. Since you are the representative for the architect, I just want to confirm that the setbacks that we just discussed, that is pretty accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Looking at the exhibits in the staff report.
Okay. And you were not part of the discussions with the concerned residents?
On that Saturday?
I was not. I would have been with Craig Schultz.
Craig Schultz. All right, Mr. Schultz, be prepared. I will be asking you some questions as well for that discussion.
Okay.
So back to you, Andrew. Mr. Herman. I do appreciate you reading the staff report, providing the additional information, and your acceptance of the conditions on behalf of the applicant. since you were not part of those discussions, I don't have any additional questions for you at this time. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to turn my focus and direction to Mr. Schultz on the phone. Craig, do you wish to speak on this item?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, great. And then, so just once again, we've got Craig Schultz with Laidlaw Schultz and Architects. Okay. So you've been entered into the record. So I've already got the acceptance of the conditions of approval in the staff report, but I would like to ask you a little bit more on the discussions that happened with the concerned, and I am proud to hear that it sounded like you guys met with the one concerned residence, Mr. Vendetti, and you were able to resolve the issue. So could you walk me through that process just a little bit? And then also, of course, I would be interested in any additional outreach to Mr. Austin. So those are my two questions for you.
Sure, happy to talk to those. We actually had someone in the office come down with COVID, and so the meeting was scheduled for that Saturday. Can you hear me?
Yes, and I'm so sorry about the person with COVID. That was just, you know, we hope they're
doing
better.
He's weathered it well, and he's back in the office. So anyway, so I forewarned all the neighbors I was going to meet with the Vendettis and the Austins. I forewarned them that I had been exposed. You know, I was going to wear the mask and keep 6 feet apart. But I did want to give them a heads up. So the Vendettis took me up on meeting. Mr. Austin said he had some pre-existing conditions. He was a little apprehensive about meeting in person, so he did not attend that meeting that occurred on Saturday. So I did meet with the Vendettis across the street. There was four of them that we met with. I eventually walked them through the plans. We discussed that essentially all that's happening is that we're filling in the missing square on the existing deck. We discussed the requirement for Mimble Bay to provide a service yard, and that's what the one lower wall was about. They didn't inquire under the trellis, as I recall, but they probably discussed it. And then I had a 3D SketchUp model, and we walked through that. We went up onto the deck, and we did some measurements just so they could confirm the measurements that were in the plan. And they essentially said that they didn't think they were going to have any issue with it as long as we weren't moving any closer to the street than we did to that. So, and subsequently, they filed that they were going to withdraw their concern. Then I had a phone conversation with Mr. Austin. I essentially walked him through the same scenario, what we were doing. He mentioned he was concerned about the trellis and the deck. He thought that it was going to be, you know, getting close to his dining room. That noted, we're still, you know, in Emerald Bay, conditions were a fair distance. I'm just going to measure this real quick. We're 27 feet 9 inches from his house, the extent of the deck. And so we didn't really think that was going to be too much of a privacy concern. His second concern was the trellis. He asked if we could pull the trellis back. I talked it over with, sorry about that. We talked about it with the owner, and the owner said that he felt that we had made some conciliation during the process with the Emerald Bay Committee. At some point, we did pull back some of the members on the trellis to shorten it up a little bit. So the owner felt like they had kind of made their conciliation to the process. And then I submitted into the record kind of our view study on it. Well, you know, we did it in plan. I acknowledge that this is a three-dimensional thing. I wish we would have had the opportunity to go to the Austin's house when the stakes were up and snap some pictures to really view it, but unfortunately we didn't do that. So anyway, essentially we feel like the trellis is behind the existing roof line. And when I did the one study, I thought we were a little bit over 4% if we took how far the trellis interfered with what the existing edge of the house, and we were less than 1 degree view impact if we went from the center of the dining room window to the edge of the roof. So we felt like we were being good neighbors, and we felt like we reached out and chatted with the Austins and tried to resolve the issues, and felt like we had gone through the process with them okay. So.
No, that helps. I feel horrible for the person that had the COVID, but I feel like in this instance the this item was continued to allow time for you all to meet and discuss And, you know, again, I feel horrible that Mr. Austin is not feeling well enough to do this, but I feel like you guys have had some time to meet together and try to make some sort of agreement here, and it sounds like you've done that with one of the concerned neighbors, but maybe, you know, just the time wasn't there for the others. I do appreciate you explaining the studies on the view shed. Is that something that Emerald Bay makes you guys do, or is that just something your architectural firm
does? Mr. Austin had raised his concerns and had filed those publicly, and so I felt like, we should have some response to that, so he knows that we were taking his concerns seriously.
Sure.
And so that's what prompted me to do that one little study there.
Okay. I appreciate you sharing that information, and it sounds like you've gone to even the additional cost to try to prove this out and work with the neighbors. I don't have any other questions for you at this time, so thank you so very much. Is there anyone else on the line that before I close the hearing?
No, there's not.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close the hearing, the public hearing. So I feel like this process has been designed to allow for the public to weigh in. It's technically, we don't even have to accept additional comments for the zoning administrator's consideration, anything less than 24 hours. But even with that said, I still took time to read the comments that were provided by Mr. Austin. And again, if he ever requests a copy of this record today, I just would hope that he would understand that our decisions are not quote unquote a foregone conclusion, and that his objections and concerns would just be denied. And the effort to join on phone would definitely not be in vain, because as you all have heard, we just walked through what was the process for the reasoning for the continuance, and I am grateful to hear that that it wasn't just continued in vain for no reason. You know, it was continued and you guys met. Things were changed throughout not only the Emerald Bay process, but the actual application process and how to get here. The part that I'm feeling a little bit better with was the explanation on the trellis portion. That seems to be the concern for the view shed, and the concerns raised by the Austins is that it's not actually, that portion is only requesting like a variance of the 2 foot for the setback. So again, I leave that up to you all. If you want to bring it back the 2 feet, that's totally, your guys' decision. But I think as proposed and brought here today, that portion would only have needed the 2 feet exclusion or exception. The other thing I want to make a point for the record too is, like Kevin mentioned in the staff report and follow-up reports, the county doesn't have the regulatory authority to protect views. Emerald Bay has their own process for that, and it seems like they go through their own hearings and review cycles, so all of that is really kind of, not to shirk our responsibility as good neighbors or anything like that, or implementing rules and regulations, but that is something I don't have the authority to protect. While I understand this is a discretionary application, there's so many variances and use permits and existing houses out there that we just don't get in that. That's not our business to protect the views. So while I feel for the neighbors and I understand that, obviously a view is a very important aspect of your property and property values, that's not what this application is about and not what our approval or disapproval would be about. So I hope that as I move forward on this project, I am moving to approve it, find that the staff report and public testimony that was given, and just find that the project does meet the categorical exemption as outlined in the staff report, and that I will go ahead and approve planning application PA 20-0089 for a use permit and variance subject to the findings and conditions of approval. And so congratulations on that. I do appreciate everyone's time in working in the process. I appreciate the applicant, working with the continuance and reach out, follow up with the neighbors. And I do appreciate this process. I've had to get a permit myself in the County of Orange, so I do appreciate the process too. So I just want you all to know that. So I don't take my decisions lightly on this. So there is an appeal process that is available online, and it is identified in the staff report, and it is part of the public noticing when on this project. So before you move forward on any building, building permits or grading permits, there is that 15-day appeal process. But please work with your building and safety department if you wish to pull permits during that process time. So that's all I have on that item. Again, Kevin, thank you very much. Brian Curno, I know too, the manager too, for all the additional work that you guys did to be able to present this to me and help, make a sound decision on this. So I do thank you, and I recognize staff's hard work on this, as well as the applicant. I guess that's all we've got for the discussion items. I am going to go back to the agenda, and I don't see any other members of the public that wish to speak on any other items, so I guess we can just move to adjournment, and we'll see you at the next public hearing. Thank you so much again, everyone, for your time. Stay safe, continue to wear your
masks,
and goodbye. Have a good day.